Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, and God said, "Let us make a man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image, and the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, "Be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." In chapter 2 and verse number 7, as God's, he has formed man, this is what he says, that when he formed man of the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Matthew 22 and 32 says, "I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living." Praise the Lord. So today I want to talk to us about this, the living church. The living church. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you this morning for your word. Thank you for calling us, Lord, out of darkness into your marvelous light. Lord, we give you praise for it. Today, let us hear what you would say to us. Let it encourage us and make us better. Let us be who you made us to be. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Everyone said amen. Would you clap your hands one more time to the Lord this morning? God is good. God is good. You may be seated. God bless you. We are the living church. To some people, living is just simply waking up, breathing. That's living. That's being alive. But for us that know the Lord and that God has changed our lives, we know that there's more to living than just breathing and going to work and just getting through the day, going to sleep, waking back up again. That's not who God designed us to be. We are the living church. And God, our God, is God of the living. If I quote it right, I think, Sister Shada, you said the brother there in the Philippines said, "Since our God is alive, our praise must also be alive." And I think I've thought about that a lot. And, of course, we've heard over the years, we don't want no dead church. Well, we don't want dead church, and we shouldn't have dead church because God is the God of the living. And he's not just the God of the living. The scripture says over 30 times it calls him the living God. So we know in Revelation that he is alive forevermore. He lives forever. And so we are made in his image. We see that in the scripture that God created man in his image. And if he is the living God, we ought to be living people. And when God made Adam, he formed him from the dust of the ground, but he did not just leave him lifeless. It says that God breathed into his nostrils and he breathed into him the breath of life. And it was at that point that man became a living soul. Without that breath from God, without the Spirit of God, God breathing into him, giving him that spirit of life, he was just an image. He had no ability to do anything. And God had already told him, had made the declaration when he was creating man and talking about creating man, that he would give him dominion in the earth, dominion over things in the earth. And of course, we know that he would call Adam to tend and take care of the garden that he would place him in. And he gave Adam the ability to name all the animals as he would bring them to him. And he gave Adam just a mind already to know these things and know how to do these things. So God has called us to be living, and we have dominion, and we have power as well. We're not just an image of him that does nothing. Adam was created in God's image, but he was designed to live, and he was designed to be inhabited by the life, breath of God. And God has designed us to be his house, the temple of the Holy Ghost. He dwells inside of us. He lives in us, and the scripture says, because of that, in him we live and we move and we have our being. We are not just, he didn't create Adam to be, garden furniture, to be just, here's a nice conversation piece for the angels or what it took. Hey, look, yeah, what's that? That's Adam. What's he do? He just lays there. Sometimes I move him, depending on where I want him to be. I have to move him, have to watch out. Because if he sits there too long, the animals just come and sit on him and lay on him. And, birds, how they are when they sit on things. So I have to move him every once in a while because he's just there. Hey, kind of looks like you made him in your image. Yeah, but he don't do what I do. But that's not what God designed him for. I've made mention before, I love lions. Anybody knows, walks into my office, you'll see pictures and figures and things. And I've got some big stone lions that I have. And, when you see them, it makes me think about a living lion. A lion that can run and roar and hunt its own prey and take care of its pride and do all the things. When you see it, you think about that, of the majesty, the power, the strength that lions have. But it's not a living lion. It's just a stone lion. It's not going to chase nobody. It's not going to bite anybody. It can't, birds come and sit on it. Dogs could come by and do what dogs do when they have statues around. It's just there. It can't do anything. It's just an image of what it could be if it was alive. It's not going to hurt nobody, bite nobody. It does not instill any fear. Now, if I was out in the wild and I hear a lion roar, I'm not going to be happy about it unless I'm somewhere safe. It would bring great fear upon you, but I can walk past that lion and pat it on the head. It's not going to bite, not going to growl, not going to do anything. It's just a stone statue lion, not alive, no breath, no flesh. It's not warm-blooded. Nothing's going on with it. It's just a statue. God, help us not to just become statues of what we could be in the house of God. God created us in his image, and we ought to be upholding the image that God made us in. I don't want to be just decoration in the world or in the house of God. I want to do more than just breathe in and out. I want to be what God called me to be. I want to remember that once I was dead in sin and trespasses, but now I am alive unto God. I don't want to be an image of what could be. I want to fulfill what God has called me to be. We were created in the image of God, who is God of the living, and he is the living God. And he intended for us to be fruitful and multiply. When he talked about that with Adam and Eve, he meant that you're going to have families, you're going to procreate, you're going to help inhabit the earth by doing these things. And God has given us the same ability, of course, naturally as a husband and wife, that we can be fruitful and multiply and our families can grow. But as children of God, we can grow the family of God. We can begin to help fill this world with born-again believers. We can take what God has placed in us and pass it on to someone else, and they can then become a child of God. I just shared a testimony, Brother Dusty, Nick Barber. He and his wife have been here several times. His wife came while her husband was stationed in the military, but she came and was filled with the Holy Ghost and was baptized. And they've been coming back some a few times since they've been back in Georgia, but Dusty had him over to the house for dinner yesterday evening, and he began to talk to him about baptism and gave him a little Bible study. He said, after about 1 minute, he said, "I'm ready to go." And they went out. He sent me a video this morning. They went out to the swimming pool, and he baptized him in Jesus' name. That's being the living church. That's doing what God intended us to do, that we could talk to our friends and talk to our neighbors and talk to our school mates and work the people that we work with, and we could talk to them about this thing because they want to know what it is you've got. And when it's living inside of you, they're going to see it. The scripture says in the Lord is light, and that light that life, and that life is the light of every man. It's just our life. It's what we do, and we let this light so shine so people can see our good works. And when that living light is inside of us and it's just with us in everything that we do, when we are upholding the image from which we were created, by the living God, the God of the living, and he's not the God of the dead. I don't want to be dead. The scripture says the dead know nothing, and the dead praise not the Lord. The dead, there's nothing else they can do. They can't give God glory. They can't do anything. And when we were dead in sins and trespasses, we could not do anything that was profitable for the kingdom or for the world. We couldn't do anything like that, but God brought us back to life because he loved us. He said he called us out of darkness. And when I think about that, I think about the tomb that Lazarus was in and how he was in darkness, and God loved him, but he was dead. He couldn't fellowship. He couldn't praise. He couldn't do anything else. But once God called him out of darkness into the marvelous light, he began to, not just live and breathe, but he began to love people and be around people. And he was even sitting at the table with Jesus. We read in the next chapter, he didn't just come to life and stay in the cave. He didn't stay in the tomb. He came out. God didn't, he didn't just call you to life for you to stay in the life that you were in. He called you to life to leave that place behind, because that wasn't really living. Be in the image of the living God. Even in what Christ did on the cross, he went to the cross of Calvary and he was submitted to the death of the cross because of the sin of the world. And he went into the tomb, and then 3 days later, he walked out of that tomb. Sin and death put him in the tomb, but it was that life that brought him out of the tomb. If the same Spirit that raised Jesus up dwells inside of us, and the Spirit is life, and so if that same Spirit that raised him up dwells inside of us, let me tell you, he called us out of sin, and he called us out of darkness, and he called us not just to be all spiffed up and cleaned up and say, "Hey, look, this is what we could be," but he called us to be the living church. Put your hand to the plow. He meant to be a worker together with me. Do something for the kingdom of God. Whatsoever you find to do, do it with all of your might. Send them out by two to tell people about him. The church went everywhere. They were dispersed everywhere at the beginning of the church, telling people, and the church was growing and multiplying. God was adding daily to the church such as should be saved. And it wasn't because he was reaching out doing all these things, but the people that had now come to life in his image were now doing what the church was meant to do. They didn't become a church fixture. They became the living church. And that's who we are today. We're not just a bunch of people who get together every week to sing a couple of songs and go our way, but we are called by God into newness of life. This is a new life. This is a new way of living, and we've got to do what God called us to do. He gave Adam dominion. He said, you have dominion over the things in this earth, and I want you to do this in the garden. And he gave Adam things to do, and Adam was doing what he was supposed to do. God knew that he could do it because he put the ability in him to do it, and God put the ability in us to do it. That's what God intended us to do. Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, have dominion over every living thing in the earth. There's no reason for us to be conquered in this life because God has given us power over all the power of the enemy. We can live in this world and be more than conquerors in this world. We can be overcomers in this world because God put that life in us. He gave us life. Adam was not just, you know, like I said, he wasn't just a garden decoration. He was formed, but then God did something. He made his hands. He made his feet, eyes, ears, nose, mouth. Everything in his body had purpose to run that body so it could do the things that God had asked him to do. And that's what God has done for us, the possibility of ability was there. And the possibility of ability is in us. We have the ability to do what God wants us to do. But Adam, you know, he needed more than just hands and feet and eyes, nose, ear. He needed life. And God knew that. I gave him, I look at him. Well, he could be plowing, God, yeah, but he can't. He's not alive. He could be taking care of things. Yeah, but he's not alive. As long as Adam was just laying there, nothing was going to get done. But when God breathed into his nostrils and he became a living soul, he knew that there was purpose in his life. And friend, let me tell you, God has purpose for every one of us. He created this earth, this vessel, to be inhabited. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. And God did not intend us to live according to the nature of this world, but he wanted us to live in fellowship with him. He wants us to reconcile, help reconcile people back to God. That's why he gave us the ministry of reconciliation and a word of reconciliation so we can get people back into divine favor with God. He wants fellowship with his creation. He's always around. He's always there, even when you didn't know it. But there was no fellowship until you come to him in repentance, where you die out to this world and then you're buried in the water and raised up to walk in newness of life. You become a new creature and you become a new living creature, living in his image. That's what God wants the church to be. We can't be like the world. We can't act like the world, because in the world was where death reigned. But we have overcome those things and been called out of those things. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean things. You know what was unclean to them in that day? Dead stuff. If you touched dead stuff, you became unclean. And he said, come out from among them, be separate. Don't touch those things. Those are the things of sin. Those are the things of death. Be what I made you to be. Do what I called you to do. That's why John 10 and 10 is so powerful to me, because he said there is an enemy in this world. There's a thief in this world that comes to steal and kill and to destroy. But I am come that you might have life, and that you might have life more abundantly. It means, he said, I came so you could live a life, not just breathe in and out. He said, but that you could live the life that I have intended you to have. After the enemy has done his worst, after this world has shaked you and sifted you and done everything it could to destroy you, I came to give you life. Friend, I'm telling you today, I'm glad for the life that God gives us. And if you don't believe it works, just try it. Just start telling somebody about him, and they're going to want some prayer. Then you see tears start filling up in their eyes, because when you start talking about the life of God, people get affected by it. And that's what God called us to do. He knows that the message works. The gospel is powerful. It is the power of God unto salvation. Friend, but somebody's got to share it. God had the ability to give Adam life, but if he had withheld it, Adam would have just kept laying there. But God showed us, breathe life into people. You've got the Holy Ghost. You've got that Spirit in me. Tell somebody, my words are spirit and they are life. Give somebody my word and watch them come to life. Share my word and watch them come to life. Watch them walk out of darkness. Watch them turn around. And I probably everyone in here could testify and say, you know, I was just living my life and somebody started telling me about Jesus. Yeah, that was me. I was just living my life, dead in sin, dead in trespasses. And then somebody started telling me about Jesus. And it was uncomfortable. It was wild. It was different. And I was like, hey, you know, okay, this is really not jiving with the life I live, because it can't live together. It won't dwell together. You know, you can be a Jesus fan and live in the world, but it won't get you to heaven. He didn't call us to be fans. He said, be a follower. Leave that stuff behind and follow me. Drop your nets and follow me. Leave everything behind and follow me. And so he kept on working on me, and he kept digging on me. And finally one night I said, that's it. And I left it behind, and I realized this is what it means to come to life. When I came up out of that water, out of that grave, out of that being baptized in his name, I knew that the past was gone, that my sins had been remitted. And I don't know, didn't know what, I was just like a newborn child. I said, what do I do now? I was asking, what do I do now? Asking everybody, how do I live this life? What do I do now? Because I know I can't go back. So what do I do now? Well, start reading your Bible. So I read my Bible. Start praying. So I started praying. You need to fast. I started fasting. If you want to join the choir, join the choir. Come help us around. Whatever. And I was just telling everybody I knew about Jesus. I didn't know everything. I didn't know all the scriptures, but I knew enough to make people argue anyway. A lot of times, but I would tell people, you need to be baptized in Jesus' name, and you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost, and that's what happened. They were just, you're different. I know I'm different because I was dead, but now I'm alive. He raised me back to life, and that's what he does. That's what Paul was talking about in Romans 6, just to the church. He was reminding them, Romans 6 and 4 and 5, he said, therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. Why? Because of sin. So we're buried, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk. We should walk in newness of life. We should not walk in the old paths of our past. We should walk in the newness of life. We need to be making steps and strides in this life that he has called us to. He says, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. In other words, if we are, that's that likeness again, it's that image again. If we've been planted in the image of his death, we will also be in the image of his resurrection. And the image of his resurrection is glorious, because his body was ripped to shreds. They marred him, the scripture says, more than any man had ever been marred before. They tore the skin from his body. They beat him and punched him and just made him unrecognizable, and then nailed him to a cross. And then they wrapped him and put him in a tomb. And friend, he didn't come out looking like he did going in. But when he came out, nothing but the nail prints and the wound in his side as a testimony that he was, that who he was. And we'll have those scars from our past. But you know what a scar is? A scar is something that has already healed up. But it was there. There was a wound, but it's been healed. And we've got those things to tell people. This is who I was. This is what happened. But look at me now. Why are you like you are now? Because I have been resurrected. Now, I'm not just living any old way anymore. I've been resurrected. You know that when you go down in that water, you come up, you're in the image of his resurrection. When you're filled with the Holy Ghost, that Spirit, the same Spirit that raised him up, is raising you up to new life. That's resurrection. That's powerful. Resurrection means that something was killing you, but something brought you back to life. And the world has drained people. It has sucked the life out of people. Sin is still destroying people. Let me tell you, the wages of sin is still death. But the gift of God is still eternal life. And so while where sin does abound, the grace of God does that much more abound. And God is greater than sin will ever be. It looks sometimes like sin is ruling the world, but God, friend, He is just waiting for a church to raise up and start telling people, I know an exit. I know a way out. I know a way to new life. That's what the living church is supposed to do. The living church, made in His image, He breathed into us that spirit that raised us and resurrected us and made us who we are. And we are more than just a cleaned up. Oh, now, I don't even think I owned a tie before I got in church. But you know, now I'm saved. I guess I'm sanctified. I put me a tie on so everybody know I'm saved and sanctified. And, you know, it ain't about all of this. He cares about every part of it. But friend, what happened was I came into a new life. And He didn't say, now I'm going to take you like a nice little collector's piece and I'm going to set you right here and you won't ever make another mistake and you'll just be perfect and everybody can just come in and admire the work I've done. Nobody would have known the work He'd done if I did not live different. They could have seen me every day and just thought, yeah, that's him. And this is what I remember about him. Until they saw me living different, they had no idea. That's when people started going, man, what happened to you? You're doing what? You're preaching? And then you're pastoring? The same guy that was fist fighting in front of the stage at the Omni while AC/DC was singing Highway to Hell? Yeah, that's me. That's who I was. We buried that guy. Sorry he wasn't there. But we buried him, and he's gone. No headstone, no nothing. I don't want to remember him. But we buried him. And now I'm preaching the gospel. And now I'm telling people about Jesus. And I'm telling them how to get off that highway to hell. I'm telling them how to get out of that nonsense, get away from that stuff, because this is the life that God wants us to live. And as the living church, we have an opportunity to tell people about this great life. And so we are raised up to walk in newness of life. He said in verse 11, likewise reckon yourself also to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. You are now dead. You were dead in sin. Now you're dead to sin. That's the way it's supposed to be. We're supposed to be dead to sin. I think I read it last week, but where Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but not I. But it's not me, but it's Christ. He lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, this new life, I live it by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. This is new life. This is new life. This the life that I now live, not the life that I did live. The life that I now live, I live it by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. That was what God intended for Paul's life. He thought he had it down until he met Jesus, and Jesus showed him what else he needed so he could really be alive. And so Paul surrendered to Christ and he was filled the Holy Ghost and baptized in the name of Jesus. And then Paul really begins to live. And he said, now I labor more abundantly. I'm just trying to wear myself out telling people about this Christ, this Son of the living God. When Christ comes in, friend, it'll make you want to tell somebody. The woman at the well that we talked about last week also, it said she was met him. The offer of living water was made, and he told her about things she had done in her life, but he still offered that living water to her. And She ran telling everybody, come meet a man. Come meet a man that told me everything I've ever done. This is the Christ. And she went and told, and people came out and believed her word, and they believed. But then when they got there, some of them said, not just because you said it, but now we've seen it for ourselves. Friend, if you'll just tell somebody, and friend, they'll find it for themselves. We're scared. We've got to do all the work. No, we just got to get them to Him. Just get them to Him, and He'll do the rest of the work, because people are looking for the Christ. They're still looking for that Savior. I don't care what they say. This world is still looking for a Savior. It's still looking for somebody to help them out. And that's what the church is designed to do. We can't be a dead church. We can't just be a church that's an image of what should be. They should feel life when they come in the door. They should feel life when we go out in the streets. When we go out to outreach, they should feel life. Yeah, when we go to work, they should feel that life, because we were called to be the living church. And God's already declared what we would have. Just like before we read how He breathed into Adam, it says He had already declared that Adam would have dominion. But to enforce that and to fulfill what God had planned, Adam had to be alive. How can we do the things that He did and greater things if we're not alive? We can't. How can we preach the gospel to every creature if we're not alive? We can't. But when God breathed into him, that's what made Adam stand up and take hold of the authority that God had given. It's just, you think about the similarity of this when Jesus was talking to his disciples in John chapter 20. Jesus, he had spoke to them and said, when he had said this, he breathed on them. And he said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Before it was ever poured out, it was already declared, this is what you can have. He was letting them know then and there that the authority they would have would come from him, because the Holy Ghost comes in his name, that the life would come from him when the Holy Ghost was poured out. And that's why Acts 1 and 8 says, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. The Holy Ghost is about more than talking in tongues. That's the initial sign of being filled with the Holy Ghost. But friend, then you become a witness unto him if you're alive. If you're living the life that he called you to do. If we are the living church, then we'll do what the church did. When you read in the book of Acts, nobody was holding back. They was just running everywhere, telling it wherever they could go. House to house, fellowship, breaking bread, daily, continuing in the apostles' doctrine, just telling people about it. And God was just multiplying the church and multiplying the church. And the more they tried to stomp it out, it just kept growing. Because God was shaking the places where they were praying and filling them up with the Holy Ghost all again, giving them boldness to go speak in places. He was saving them through shipwrecks and keeping them and watching over them and making sure they stayed alive so they could do what he called them to do. That's what the living church is called to do. God gave Adam power to subdue, have dominion, to replenish. And Jesus gave us power to subdue, have dominion, and replenish. If the church stops being the church will eventually die. There'll be no more church members. If we stop being the church, one by one, we start leaving this world. And eventually, there's nobody here. So that's why we keep preaching. So that new babies in Christ can come in and grow and mature and become the saints that will come behind us, still preaching this gospel of life. That's what God wants us to do. Preach the gospel to the whole world. That's what he said in the book of Mark. Go and preach it to every creature so you can replenish the earth with born-again saints of God. We need to be doing that. You know, I was talking about that stone lion earlier, how nobody's afraid of that. Nobody, because this is just a stone lion. Ain't no reason to be afraid of it. You know, it's, you can go up and sit on top of it if you want to. You could draw glasses on it. You could put a silly hat on it. It can't do nothing. It's just a stone lion. But in Acts 2 and 43, when he mentioned the church, it says, "And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles." Well, when they saw the church, they knew something was going on. Fear came upon them. Something's going on in this world. Look at all these people now that are doing what that Jesus that we killed, you remember all them things he was doing? Now all these people are doing it. Something's going on. The scripture says the devils believe in one God and tremble. When Jesus came up on evil spirits, they would fall down afraid and cry out. Well, greater is he that's in me than he that is in the world. But they won't be afraid of a powerless, lifeless image. In the book of Acts, someone said, "You know what? I'd like to do what they're doing." Matter of fact, it was seven sons of one father decided they were going to get together and we're going to do what they're doing. And they went in to try to cast a devil out of a man, and the devil looked at them and said, because they were like, "We adjure you." I don't know that anything's going to run when you say that. "By Jesus that Paul preaches." Well, Jesus we know because he whooped up on us while he was walking on this earth. Paul we know because Paul shut us down a few times too. But there ain't nothing in you that we recognize. We don't know you. And it jumped on them seven men and whooped them. And then they ran out wounded and naked. That's embarrassing. That's bad. That's naked and afraid. Nobody, when the devil looks at you and says, "I don't recognize nothing in you that ought to make me tremble." That's why we believe in one God. And that's why we baptize in the name of one God. And that's why it's the spirit of that one God that lives inside of us. And that's why the enemy is afraid of the apostolic church. Because he knows that they're the temple of the one true living God. And if they do what they have the authority to do, we can't stop it. We can't do anything about it. They don't want us to know. The enemy would rather you not know what kind of power you have over him. They don't realize that they could send us back to where we came from. Yeah. Woo. I want to make sure that when the enemy sees me, he knows he's full of the one true living God. He lives in you and me, or else then we are just an image of what could be and what could be done. Jesus said he was building a church and that the gates of hell would not prevail against it, but it'll have to be a living church. We don't just have the tools, we have the power that goes along with it. In Luke 10 and 19, he said, "Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." The living church recognizes this. Don't confuse it with life. I thought, he said, "I'd never be hurt." He said, "No." He said, "The enemy would not have the power to hurt you." We make enough dumb decisions on our own. We don't have to blame the enemy for that. He is a roaring lion going about seeking whom he may devour. But he can't devour the saints of the Most High. He can't do it. He's gobbling up people in the world left and right. But he can't devour you and I because he has no authority or power greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. You learn that in school. There's never anything that is less than. When you're doing less than and greater than, guess what? Seven's always going to be bigger than zero, because he's a zero. But God is, he's seven. He's complete. And it don't matter how many times, which way you write it, up, down, sideways, diagonal, the greater sign will always go toward the what's greater. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And just like Adam had authority and dominion to subdue and rule, that's the same authority we have today, to subdue and rule, not be dictators over people's lives. Don't get what I'm saying. But we have power to rule over these things of this world. They do not have authority over us. That's why he said, you can lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Why? Because you have authority in my name to do that, to heal the sick. Someone was telling me this morning, the doctor told them they've got, his brother JT said the doctor gave him some new diagnosis. And I said, well, you know what? I just cursed that in the name of Jesus. Laid my hand on his shoulder. Didn't have to shake him down or headlock him or nothing. But I said, I'm just going to tell you, I curse that in the name of Jesus. We got authority over that. Go back to the doctor and see what he says. 2 Corinthians 10:3-4. I know I'm almost done. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We are not just statues, we are alive. And our weapons are mighty through God. They're not our own weapons. They come from him. It's what he gave us. So we are not just statues, we are alive. We are the church of the living God, and we don't have to be defeated because we have the power and we have the dominion. That's what we need to remember. I don't want to have a form of godliness and then be denying the power thereof. There is a power intended for every single believer, not just those that are in the fivefold ministry, not for just those that just stand behind a pulpit, but every believer, power is intended for you and for me. That's why Jesus would say in John 7:39, he was talking about the Holy Ghost. He said, this he spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. Acts 2:39, for the promises unto you, to your children, all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Friend, he said the Spirit's for everybody. And when the Spirit comes, power comes with the Spirit. We have a God, and he is the God of the living. Peter said that we are lively stones. 1 Peter 2:4. I know I'm running out of time. He said, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. That's what he said we're supposed to be doing. We're the living church. We're not stone lions. We're living stones. And God, and that's because only God can do that. Isaiah 51:1 says, hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, and ye that seek the Lord. Look unto the rock from whence you are hewn, and to the hole of the pit from where you were digged. He said, you need to look back at the rock. I told you already, it says at least 30 times in Scripture that he's the living God. But it also says this, that he is, Deuteronomy 32:31, their rock is not as our rock. 1 Samuel 2:2, neither is there any rock like our God. 2 Samuel 22:32, for who is God save the Lord, and who is a rock save our God? Psalm 95:1, he is the rock of our salvation, and he is the living God. So when we look unto our rock, he's the living rock. That's why we are living stones. He said, you've got to look back at where you came from, where you were formed out of, and understand you're not dead. You're not a statue, but you are a living stone because you came from the living God. And that means we are the living church because God is building a church. Jesus said, I'm building a church that the gates of hell cannot prevail against. So I'm looking back at God. And our God is a man of war, a consuming fire. Our God is the one to whom the word impossible and defeat don't even apply. I'm looking at the master of the wind and the sea and the waves, the healer, the deliverer. I'm looking at the Savior. He is the resurrection and the life. He is the lion of the tribe of Judah. He's a living lion. I'm looking to the rock from where I was cut out of. He's in me, and I need to be like him. You can stand with me this morning if the music wants to come. The scripture says, if I have borne the image of the earthy, which is the first Adam, Adam of creation, then I must also bear the image of the heavenly, which is the second Adam, Christ the Lord. The first Adam, we've been like him, created in God's image, but we failed him. There's none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's the first Adam. He sinned in the garden, and we all came in the world under that curse. But then I need to bear the image of the heavenly. I need to die to sin. I need to be buried and then resurrected. I need to be made new. I need to be baptized in his name and filled with his spirit so I can be that new creature in Christ. So I'm going to do greater, if I'm going to do greater things, it will be because Jesus said I would. I'm not going to just look the part, I'm going to play the part or live the part. I'm not going to, if I'm going to be what Jesus intended, then I'm going to be part of a church that cannot be defeated. We are not made of cold, lifeless stone. We are alive through Christ and more than conquerors through him that loved us. We are the living church. That's why we have a live church. That's why our praise must be alive. That's why everything we do must be alive. The living, Scripture says, praise him. One man declared, I shall not die, but live. But what are you going to do if you live? I'm going to declare the works of the Lord. That's the living church. Praise God. Let's lift our hands and just thank him that we're part of the living church this morning. Father, we love you, honor you, praise you today, and thank you for making us part of your body, for baptizing us into one body by one spirit, that spirit that makes us alive. Lord, we are formed in your image, and you are the living God. Let us be the living church. Let us tell somebody about you, Lord. Let us tell them about this great gospel, this death, burial, and resurrection. Lord, let us lead people, Lord, to salvation in your name. God, we praise you today. Help us be the living church in Jesus' name. Amen. Clap your hands to the Lord this morning. What a great God he is. So thankful for him this morning. Thankful to be a part of the living church. Amen. I'm thankful that you're a part of the living church. We've been baptized into one body by one spirit, and the spirit's alive. So we're a living body, a living church, to do the work of the living God.
Thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.